the Christian life? Well, let's begin with verse 16, if you have your printout. It says, therefore, repent. Underline that word, repent. The first thing I want to say about the word repent is it does not mean to confess your sins. You can confess your sins. That's great. But if there is no change, you have not biblically repented. Let's look at the word repent. The word repent means change. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will. Get back on God's path. That's what repent means. That is the word metanoeo in the Greek language. Somebody says, well, what about remorse? Isn't that repentance? Remorse is feeling sorry, but not sorry enough to change what is taking place in your life. So if you have truly repented according to the Bible, then there is change in your life. All right, let's continue. Or else I, that is Jesus Christ, am coming. Underline the word coming. It refers to present judgment. Or else I am coming to you, the assembly, the congregation, for your toleration of the false teachers and for your unloyalty. I'm adding as I read this. Or else I am coming to you quickly, and I, Jesus Christ, will make war. That means I will excommunicate these false teachers from the assembly. And I will make war and fight actively against them. Underline the word them. Them refers to false teachers. With the sword, and the word sword refers to words. We're talking about the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is going to speak these words in judgment. Well, let's look at these other words as we continue. Notice these two words, Jesus said. Now, the word Jesus, we should know by now, means the incarnate, eternal Son of God. Look at the word incarnate. It means Jesus as the God-man. Jesus being in the flesh while He was here on earth. And Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. Jesus has no beginning. He has no point of origin. He has no end. He is the Son of God, for He has come to do the will of the Father as the only begotten Son of the Father. Now go back to that word incarnate. This is the word Jesus Christ becoming flesh, becoming personable, becoming touchable, and becoming relatable. He is the one that will transform you when you truly repent and change in reference to your sins. All right? Look at the word repent. The word repent is an aorist active imperative. Is that important? Yes, it is. Please listen. It means do this immediately as the need arises. So this tells us that we're going to be repenting continuously, probably, in our Christian lives. This describes a decision as you go to a change of mind here. Now, a change of mind, I want you to underline a change of mind, that phrase, and I want you to listen because you don't have it on your printout. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in reference to a change of mind. Now, you'll notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be transformed. The word transformed means metamorpho. And it means changed after being with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can bring about change in your life. Here's a question. Is constant change needed for us to keep on becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is an obvious yes. Ongoing or progressive sanctification is a great honor to our humanity. It is not an insult. Now go back to the word repent for just a moment. Again, it is an aorist active imperative. Again, it means do this immediately as the need arises. Here's further note. The assembly as a whole must immediately change its mind on the issue of the toleration of evil teachers and compromise. For Jesus says, clean things up or I will when I come. All right, go back now to the number one under repent. Number one, a change of mind resulting in a complete, radical, total change of behavior. This describes a decision, an act of the will. In other words, here's the Christian that is responding to divine persuasion from the Holy Spirit that is in the Christian. It results in a total transformation affecting every area of a person's life, both inwardly and outwardly, resulting in a behavioral change. Let's look at A as we continue. If these erring spiritual leaders of the Nicolaitans in Pergamum do not listen, if they refuse to change their carnal perspective for the Lord's perspective, Jesus says he will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. Now, is there really going to be a sword coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, the word sword refers to what? To the words that will come out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever Jesus Christ speaks, whatever the words are that are going to come out, will be carried out. And they will be carried out in judgment against these Nicolaitan teachers. All right? Now listen to what he says. He says, if you refuse to repent, if you refuse to change, if you refuse to confess this sin of compromise and idolatry, then I, Jesus Christ, will come quickly. I will quickly be en route to you. Now look at the two words, to you, and look at beneath that. It means Jesus will make a path straight to them to deal with them if they did not change. So the Lord will eventually say, enough is enough. Excuse my voice. Now listen to what some will say. And I've heard them say it over and over in all churches that I have been in. And it's like this. Well, we did not indulge in this idolatry. We did not indulge in compromise. We did not indulge in false teaching. I want you to listen to what Jesus Christ is saying right here. It is so very important. There is no neutrality in Christianity. You can sit out there and say, I'm going to be neutral. I'm going to straddle the fence. I'm going to keep my mouth closed. I'm not getting in this. And therefore, I'm not going to get in trouble. Jesus says, if you're sitting out there, part of the assembly or congregation, and you're not doing anything about it, that you're just sitting there still and your mouth is shut, then I say to you, you are involved in this, and I will hold you accountable even though you do not stand up against it. You know it is taking place. So Jesus says, if this is taking place in your congregation and your assembly, then I expect every Christian to raise the voice and object of the false teaching that is taking place in the congregation or the church or the assembly that you are in at the moment. So please write this down. Please remember, there is no such thing as neutrality in the Christian life. You're either on the fence or you're off the fence. It's either black or it's white. There is no gray areas. You can't say, well, I'm just not getting involved. I'm just going to let it play out. Jesus says, I'm telling you, stand up against this, denounce this type of teaching, and escort them out of the church, for I'm going to hold everybody accountable that is sitting under this teaching. Whether you're doing something about it or you're not doing something about it, I'm going to hold you in judgment. Now let's go back to the printout right here. We did not indulge, but Jesus says you tolerated this teaching and you tolerated this practice. Again, there is no neutrality in Christianity. Now look at the phrase, Jesus said, repent or else I, Jesus Christ, will come quickly. Look at the word quickly. It means at a swift, high-speed movement without delay. Now here's Jesus Christ. Repentance is not taking place. So he's now ready to deal with it. Here's how he can deal with it. When he turns to go into the direction of that assembly or congregation, there are times he's going to move very slowly. Why? He's giving them time to repent. He's giving them time to change. He's giving them time to make a turnaround in their Christian life. But when he sees there's not going to be any repentance, and he needs to deal with this quickly. Why does he need to deal with it so quickly? If he doesn't deal with it quickly, it's going to saturate the whole congregation. That's how deadly this compromise in the teaching of the Nicolaitans is. When he sees this begin to happen, and it's going at a rapid rate, he's not going to move slow, he's coming. He's coming quickly. You saw the word, didn't you? Now what does that mean right there? I'm coming, and nothing's going to stop me. Nothing is going to get in my way. I'm going to come to your church, and I'm going to deal with the false teachers. They're going to be excommunicated. Then I'm going to turn to the assembly or the congregation, and I'm going to deal with you in words of judgment. Whatever that discipline is going to be, I don't know. Only he does. What's my advice, and what is the advice of Jesus Christ? Repent, repent, repent. Well, preacher, I'm confessing my sins. But if there is no change in your life in the midst of those confession of sins, that is not true biblical repentance. Repentance equals change. Remorse equals I'm just sorry for what I've done, but I'm not sorry enough to change. So therefore, when you confess behavior that is not liking to the Lord, we have sin in our life, even as a child of the living God. There's got to be change with confession. Change with repentance. Or it is not biblical repentance. And listen to this, your confession is not accepted. Back to the printout. Look at the word fight. This word refers to an all-out war. An all-out war. Now, I want you to write this down. It's a question. Do you want to have an all-out war with Jesus Christ? Anybody here? Would you raise your hand if you'd like to? You know, I'm not real good. I'm working on it. And I'm not near good enough to cure stupid. And I don't think anybody in here, and I know they're not, is stupid enough to wage war on Jesus Christ. Would you lose? Thank you. Look at the word sword. This was a Thracian sword, not the Roman sword. May surprise you a little bit. This sword had a sharp sickle-shaped blade fixed to a long pole. You ever seen one of those? Have you ever had a tree trimmer that had a long pole? And the blade went like this, kind of curved around? I mean, you could get that thing on a pole, you could stand on the ground, and you could do some cutting way up above your head. And it'd do some serious cutting, wouldn't it? Did you know the Romans feared this particular sword more than any sword that existed? Let's read, and I'll tell you why. It was known for its ability to cut through thick armor with its long reach. In other words, I can reach you with a Thracian sword, but the Roman could not reach me with his sword. And what did they do with it? The Thracian sword, he gets close enough and he gets it against that armor and he starts giving it this. And he starts hacking right through the armor of the Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier can stick his sword out like this and he can't even touch the guy with the Thracian sword right there. Now, that's what Jesus has used. Let's continue to read. This sword had a back and forth hacking ability. H-A-C-K-I-N-G, hacking ability. So Jesus is saying, if you erroneous leaders refuse to do what I am, look at this, I am lovingly warning you to do. Jesus says, I don't want to come to you. I really don't want to fight with you. I don't want to wage war with you. I don't want to really discipline you. But he says, if you continue on the course that you are, the Nicolaitan teachers, teaching, compromise, idolatry, and you that are sitting out there in the congregation, in the assembly, and you're not doing one thing to denounce it, he says, I am definitely going to come unto you, and I'm going to do what is necessary. Now, there's a very important statement at the bottom of this, and I really want you to get it. He says, I will come with a sword, that is his word, and hack my way back into the church that belongs to who? The church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. It does not belong to a denomination. The church belongs, always has, does today, always will, belong to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. That is non-negotiable. It is always going to be that way. And I'm going to tell you something. God is a jealous God. And he's not going to put up with what a lot of churches are putting up with today, and that is what? False teaching. It is compromise. It is idolatry. Jesus is saying, I dealt with it in the church of Pergamum, and I will deal with it every time it is in a local assembly that belongs to me, Jesus Christ. So the church does not belong to you. It is mine, Jesus said. Why would you think Jesus would say that? Who is Jesus? He's God. Did Jesus die on the cross? Exactly. Did Jesus pay your sin debt in full? Yes, he did. He has the right to say, it is my church. I died for it. I was raised from the dead for it. I shed my blood for it. I did all that was necessary to give you the opportunity to be saved, to be born again by grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, I have the right to say what I want to say. I have the right to bring judgment and deal with false teachers. Amen. Turn to page 2. Is Jesus still speaking the same message to local churches today? The answer is absolutely yes. Is Satan going to fight this? Yes. Will he bring a strong delusion in this area? Yes, he will. He'll say, you know what? It's okay to compromise. It's okay to listen to false teaching. It's not going to bother you one bit. In fact, it will enlighten you to the New Age movement. Number 2, who is head of the church today? Jesus Christ, not me. I don't want to be the head of this church. I'm just like you, carrying out the gift that he's given me. So Jesus Christ is the head, right? Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear. Underline the word hear. Hear what? Hear God's voice. Also, this is an aorist imperative. The aorist imperative connected to the word hear means do this immediately. When you have an opportunity to hear the word of God, listen to it. He'll speak to you. Whenever you have the opportunity, have an ear to hear. So the word hear means to hear God's voice. Where's God's voice? Is it somewhere out here? Where is it? What do you have a Bible for? Is that the word of God? Is that God's voice? Okay, thank you. True spirituality involves hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd in every scene of life. Question: what gives birth to faith? The word from Christ. Romans, turn if you will. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You should know it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Let's go back to the beginning. The word faith, what does it mean? Faith is God giving his persuasion about what pleases him. Did you know I cannot move in a holy direction or a Christian direction or do anything that pleases God unless he first moves me by divine persuasion? I can't think of it on my own. I must be divinely persuaded to live a divine life unto the living God. Faith. God giving his persuasion about what pleases him. Look at the word hearing. The word hearing. Spiritual hearing that discerns God's voice. And where do we hear the God's voice? Out of the Word of God. It is also giving us the will of God. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing through what? The Word. What is the Word? It is the message about Christ. It is the gospel. It is the good news coming from the Word of God. But it is the Word of Christ. Underline the word Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one, Jesus Christ, is directed by God through the anointing. What is the anointing? It is the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The teaching of the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go back up to the top right here. He who has an ear, let him hear God's voice and heed. The word heed means to live out what you hear from the word of the living God. So you have to do more than hear. So he who has an ear, let him hear and let him heed, let him live out what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, that is the world, through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to him I will give, that is a grace gift that is coming from God, it is something I cannot give myself, I will give the privilege of eating some of the hidden manna. Now what I've got for you next week on the hidden manna is going to blow your ever-loving mind. And I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows except the one who receives it. All right, let's have a question here. Number one, does everyone have an ear to hear? Be careful. No, you don't. What did he say? He who has an ear, let him hear God's voice. Let him hear the word of the living God and live it out. So does everyone hear God's voice? Does everyone hear it and live it out? The answer is a big no right there. Not everyone listens when the Spirit speaks. Sometimes people are involved in delusion and deception. Where is this delusion and deception coming from? Satan. It is coming from Satan and his demonic army, again, that is well organized. Delusion and deception, they simply can not hear. Why is it they can not hear? Why do you think?
Spiritually dead.
It's spiritually dead, okay? Or if it is a Christian, he's out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he's a Christian that is listening to this false teaching, bringing about compromise. Do you think you can sit under teaching that is full of compromise and hear the voice of Almighty God? Now, I know he can cut through that, and you do too. But if you're sitting under that teaching, and you're soaking it up, and you're not doing anything to reject it, and get it out of your life, get it out of your mind, then it's going to be hard for you to, what? Hear the voice of Almighty God in the midst of all of that that is taking place. Now, here we go. Sometimes people are involved in delusion and deception. They simply cannot hear. Jesus says, for those of you who still have ears to hear, listen. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the church at Pergamum. He's speaking to the congregation. He's speaking to the assembly. Is he speaking to Christians? Absolutely. Is he speaking to Christians that are out of fellowship with the Lord? Absolutely. Is he speaking to Christians who need to repent? Absolutely. Absolutely. Repent. Lord Jesus, clean out my spiritual ears. I'm not hearing like I used to hear. And so you have to ask the question, why am I not hearing like I used to hear? Why am I not living out the Word of God like I used to live it out? Why don't I love it like I used to? You'll have to answer that yourself. For those of you who still have ears to hear, listen. His message has not changed. He is speaking the same thing to the church today than in verse 17. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Now Jesus will reward anyone who stays on track, even when faced with adversity. If you're a Christian, are you going to have adversity? Hardship? Absolutely. Difficulty. Jesus promises hidden manna. If we refuse to veer from the message of God's truth, hidden manna provides us with everything we need in this life. God will bless us not only eternally, but in this life. He will provide for us power, provision, and protection. In fact, everything we're going to need as a child of God. If we will remain faithful to the teachings of the Bible. Go back to Romans 12 as we close here in a minute. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Very quickly, from the top. Romans 12, 2. Be transformed, metamorpho. It means changed after being with Jesus Christ in true repentance. Then the question again, is constant change needed for us as Christians to keep on becoming more like the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, growing in Christ's likeness, growing in Christian maturity? The answer is yes. Ongoing or progressive sanctification is a great honor. A great honor. Why is it a great honor? Because I want to be more like Jesus Christ. I want to grow in maturity. I want to grow in His likeness. So I take it as a great honor that it has been bestowed upon me as a child of God to have the privilege of progressive or ongoing sanctification. What is sanctification? It means to be set apart for divine use by Almighty God. And what a great, great honor that is. Not an insult, all right? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at that word renewing. It is a renewal achieved by the power of God. So what does that mean? I can't bring about change in my life. I can try. I can fight it. You can cuss if you want to a little bit. Really, don't try that. You can beat on yourself, get down on yourself, get frustrated, get disappointed. But brother, renewal comes by the word of God heard and the word of God lived out, and by what? Continuous repentance in your life as a child of the living God. So it is a renewal achieved by God's power. So I want to know what's going to release this specific power to bring that renewal in my life. Listen to this. Renewing is a renewal achieved by God's power. It is going up to a new level. Now I asked myself this morning. Will I ever reach that high level in this life on planet Earth? The answer is absolutely not. Then I said, when I'm in eternity that has no end, living in the presence of Jesus Christ, my glorified Lord, will I be elevated to the highest level that there can be in eternity? And the answer is absolutely not. There's never going to be a moment, we say, in heaven, and that is true, but you know we're going to live in what? Huh? There you go. We're going to live down here on planet Earth, and it's going to be wonderful, I promise you that. But will I ever reach a level where I'm going to be bored? No. In heaven, in eternity. So you're telling me that in eternity, that never ends, I'm never going to reach the highest level of learning, the highest level of worship, the highest level of praise and thanksgiving unto Almighty God. I will never reach the highest level. It will be impossible. It will always be a time of learning, time of worship like you've never known before, time of praise like you've never known before. You're going to be in the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the brightness of His glory. You're going to walk on streets of transparent gold that does not exist here on planet Earth. It is going to be a time so exhilarating that there are no human words to describe it. So therefore, I'm not going up there to say, hey, show me that highest level that I can reach. No, no. I'm just going to be excited and so tickled and glad to be there in the presence of Jesus Christ and look in His face and look upon Him and have a mind to begin to absorb and understand and have eyes to look at what no man could look at before. It is going to be that good. It is going to be that educational. All right, let me get back for a moment. So we're never going to reach that level, that pinnacle right there. We're always going to be learning, always, always. It's never going to be a boring time. Now look at the word mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word mind in the Greek is nous, N-O-U-S. Listen to this. The Lord's gift for mental processing. Do you ever thank God for this? God, thank you for giving me a mind that I may mentally process everything that is going to happen in my life as a child of God. I could be downright stupid. But God says, I'm going to give you grace gift. I'm going to give you a mind so you and I can relate to one another. Listen to this. The Lord's gift for mental processing. The God-given capacity to think or reason. Man, I can think and I can reason and I take it for granted. Is that correct? Most of the time I do. Do you know who gave you the gift to do that? God Himself. Without that special gift, we wouldn't be having that. And for the believer, it is the organ of receiving God's thoughts through faith. Now listen to this. This is the ability to think with the mind of God. Oh boy! Dwayne, you can have the mind of God. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, if I could just have the mind of God, I wouldn't be frustrated, disappointed. I wouldn't be going through this hardship, this diversity in my life. Everything would be smooth. Everything would be great if I just had the mind of God. Where's your Bible at? What do you think this is? A fairy tale? This is the Word of God. This is the mind of God. And listen to that. He gave you a mind, a nous. He gave you the mind so you could what? So you could digest this stuff, so you could have the mind of God in you, child of God. And I think, you know what we think? We're just born with it. We're born with reasoning. Reasoning is a gift from God's grace gift. Well, I got a mind somewhere up in here, right, Dwayne? It's up here. Roll it around. Who gave it to you? Oh, you thought you were just born with it. Just took it for granted? So God gave you a mind. Does God want to protect what He gave you? Yes. Oh, is that why He gave you the Word of God? So He can protect the mind of God that you should have? Yes. I thought I could do anything I want to with my mind. I thought I could think any way I wanted to think with my mind. If God gave you a mind, brother, believe me, you're going to be responsible for what went on in that mind. Why did He give you a physical body? Well, if you're Baptist, it's to eat, right? So He gave you a physical body. Why? Because He says, you know what? I'm going to start with your mind up here. By the renewing of your mind. And you know what? When you're born into this world as a human being, you're born at the lowest level. Did we talk about raising the level? Going up? Yeah. So what does God want to do? He wants to take that low level that you have, and He wants you to what? He wants you to grow. He wants that level to rise up and rise up and rise up and rise up and rise up. Amen. And then He gave you that physical body. Why? Because He says right here, you can hug somebody, you can shake their hand. I gave you a mouth to tell somebody how much you care about them, that you love them, you're praying for them. Let me tell you something. Everything you are is a gift from God. Amen. This is the ability to think with the mind of God. A mind operating under God delivers us from painful ignorance. Can I send that to Washington, please? Bias, prejudices, and other things. Listen to this. The mind under God brings us into true reality. If your mind is under God, then when somebody steps up here, a false teacher, you will recognize it immediately. And if they won't change, get them out quick before some dumb bunny in the congregation starts soaking it up. Please. Conley Williams. His left side is not functioning. It's like a stroke. His speech is slurred. He's in the hospital in Tyler. They were going to do an MRI Monday, but they did it last night. Was that correct? Around midnight? So we need to pray for this little guy right here. A physical therapist was in, when Chad called in my office, we were talking to Pat. They listened to Pat. Physical therapist was in there trying to figure out what's really working good and what's not. And then the speech therapist was coming in after that and working with that slur right there that he's having. He's in good spirits right there, so we were glad to hear that. Told him we were going to pray for him after the service this morning. And I know he will appreciate that very, very much. You know, as a Gideon, Gideons are always praying for other people. They pray for me. They pray for all of us preachers. And we are very grateful for that. I pray for the churches. And God does a great work through the Gideons. And He's very committed to the Gideons and everything. And, you know, if I know Conley, he's wanting to get up and get back to getting work. He doesn't want to miss any of that hardly at all. So we want to pray for him, and we're going to do that right now. You know, if you're sitting by some family, good friends, it's just join hands. Something about joining hands right there. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this moment, this time of prayer. We thank you for Conley, Pat, his family. Father, you know his heart. You know he wants to get back up and going just as soon as possible. And we pray that this MRI will reveal what it should. If anything's hiding in there, that you will reveal this to the doctors and give them the wisdom on what they see, how to handle things, how to deal with them. We pray for that left side of the body. We pray that you'll bring it back to where to begin to work again. We pray for that speech that's slurred. We pray that you'll take care of that tongue and his speech again. The reason we're asking is because we know you can, and we're asking that you will do that. I pray that you'll give him peace that passes all human understanding. I thank you for the biblical understanding he has that has come from you that gives him his strength. Father, I pray to just lift him up, bring him on home to Hanesville. This church, his residential home. Father, we love him. his wife, will you give her peace that she'll be right there, and she is beside him, strong, strengthened by what she knows of our Lord. I thank you for the Gideons. I know that they've already been praying and prayed this morning. I thank you for these people that are praying and will continue to pray in the days to come. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you're listening to our prayer. Thank you that you're very concerned. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting us pray and talk to you at a time like this. It brings us together a lot closer than we were. Thank you for that bonding. And thank you for your love. And thank you for what you're going to do in his life. Bring him through this, I pray, fall for your glory. For in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.